Someone who is no longer going to be taking any classes at UC Davis is Pia Bauer. Pia Bauer is a UC Davis graduate who is the longtime producer of this radio show. Yesterday was her last day, and so now I thought this would be a perfect opportunity, now that she's under the yoke of this radio show and the many other duties that I've imposed upon her quite unfairly and despotically, that I might invite her onto the radio show and hear what her voice sounds like when she's not reading public service announcements on KDVS. Therefore, Pia Bauer, you're in the hot seat. Welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. All right. So, Pia, we were talking during the break, and thanks for reminding me to bring this up, that you speak five languages. Now, that's pretty impressive, because many of us are impressed alone with your English. But evidently, you were born in Germany to mixed German and Korean heritage, and therefore those were languages that were spoken at home. And then when you came to the United States, you thought that in your spare time you would further learn Spanish and French. That's impressive. When you go home, which you're about to do triumphantly, what languages will you be speaking at home?
Well, I speak German with my parents.
You speak German with both your parents.
And I speak English with my friends.
There you go. When do you get to use your Korean?
Really, it's not five languages. It's about half that. I would say that half my Korean was replaced when I was learning English when I got to the U.S.
Oh, I didn't know it worked that way. So when you lose a word for every word you gain in another language?
About half a word or something.
Okay.
But I can still fight in Korean. That's the language I, argue with my mother in.
Well, I can fight in Chinese and Japanese from my extensive martial arts training. But it doesn't help me when I'm dealing with a diplomatic problem.
Well, it's still something to brag about.
I think that's just what we've been doing today. All right, well, I'm going to stop you from bragging about all your language expertise and ask you about your undergraduate education at UC Davis. You came out an English major, a reader and writer of poetry and prose, and now you're thinking where to go next. Many people ask themselves, am I going to go right into some industry, or am I going to go to graduate school, or am I going to go live as I wanted to do in my mom's basement? My mom went and sold the house just at the time I was graduating from college. I think that was a sign. It was a signal to me that I should move to California instead. What are the options that you've been batting about?
Like I said, grad school is still a goal of mine. I applied this past fall, and I got acceptances, but it was pretty bittersweet because I don't really want to go into debt,
right?
Especially since I'm pursuing a master's in fine arts, which I admit is not really a very lucrative investment, or not immediately so, nothing like a business degree.
Except for your soul.
Right, exactly. Except, I don't know if I believe in a soul, but we probably shouldn't get into that.
Well, I mean, the soul can be, as a reverend, I can tell you that a soul can be broadly and widely interpreted and defined.
You just reminded me, that's another career option I hadn't considered. I could become an ordained minister as well, and thus administer weddings.
That's true. That, I think, is just about as lucrative as being a poet.
Right, but what if I do both?
Two jobs. That would make you the picture of industry.
Well, I did about five jobs this past year while I
was... And I should argue poverty. So, all right, good. Well, yeah, you could become a minister. I became a minister recently with the Universal Life Church. And I got to officiate at a wedding this past Saturday. Did I tell you about that?
Yes, you did, Dr. Anley.
Okay, good. Well, I don't know why I'm bringing it up casually in conversation then. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. The rapidly deteriorating second half of this program. Pia, you've brought some things to read this afternoon.
I have.
Which of your many genres have you decided to read something in? And then also, people want to know, in which of your many languages are you going to read?
Right. I only write in English, or I only share things I write in English because my German, well, I'm embarrassed by my German.
Are your parents embarrassed that you don't write poetry or short stories in your mother tongue?
Actually, my dad keeps pushing me about that. He keeps criticizing me for not writing in German or studying German literature, but, you know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that, one of these days.
That's just the sort of encouragement that we hope for from our parents. Okay. Good. So what have you brought with you today?
I brought one of the Sistinas I wrote. A couple months ago, I started this project where I thought it would be very clever to write six Sistinas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're...
So tell folks why that would be clever and also at some point what a Sistina is.
Right, exactly. So a Sistina is a poem of seven stanzas. Each one is six lines. The last one is only three lines, you know. But the first six are six lines. And each line ends with a word. And there are six words. Obviously, each line ends in one of those words in an alternating pattern.
And so what you mean is that in each of the six stanzas, those six words appear as final words in individual lines of those stanzas.
Right, exactly. They're mostly used for mourning poems and things like that, since they have that, like, repetitive feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, that's, you know, six, six, six. I was going to write it in... sextameter, too, but then I thought that was overdoing it, so, you know.
Right. and I'm sure we'll get some emails filled with disappointment that you chose not to write in. I think it's called hexameter.
What? No.
Hexameter, yeah, isn't that?
No,
is there a poet in the house, hexameter?
Philip Hobsbawm, Meter and Rhythm, says it's called sextameter.
Sextameter.
Yes.
But you can't say that on the radio.
That's true. Is that one of the seven words you can't say? Sextameter?
I'm pretty sure you can say that. We've already said it now.
You didn't bring up sexting, though, when you were talking about sextameter, did you?
No.
That you definitely can't say.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't say it.
All right. So now, so we're going to get you to read your Sistina. But tell me, outside of your fascination with the number six, what was it about this that drew you? And did you have a topic in mind, or did you just pick out the words and fill in the blanks, kind of Mad Lib style?
Well, I was returning to writing poetry after a long break. I did my thesis, which was all fiction, and I hadn't done a poetry workshop in 2 years, and I decided I needed to go back because I felt like the only credibility I really have is as a poet, since I've only won an award as a poet, never as a fiction writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to return to this, and I titled this series The History of Loss, based on like some other novel that I'd been reading. And I was just thinking about ideas of... Actually, I was partially inspired by Nora Bergamino, the former graduate student, now graduate of the UC Davis MA program. She was a poet, and she was also on this radio show.
She was, and we talked about how incredibly talented she is.
Right, I'm a big fan of hers. But anyway, she got me thinking, and the reason I chose to do form poetry was because I'm used to doing a lot of free writes when I do fiction. And I do free writes in a way such that I write whatever comes to mind first. And sometimes they can become poems, and sometimes they become short stories. Lately I had that tendency to make everything a story because that's the mindset I was in. So I decided to pick a form poem and make myself think in a different way.
Excellent.
So I chose the Sistina because I didn't want to write a sonnet because... I recently read an excellent sonnet that really intimidated me and made me not want to attempt it for a while.
If only you hadn't read that sonnet.
Right.
What a sonneteer you would be by now.
Oh, no. Well, I should mention the sonnet. It's by Molly Peacock. It's called Little Scar.
Molly Peacock, who we also had on this radio show and who appeared in the Poetry Night reading series in April, if I remember correctly.
That's right. That's one of my favorite poems by her.
Excellent.
So I suggest all the listeners of the show check out that poem.
Little Scar. Do you want some musical accompaniment as you read your sonnet?
Well, I have a Sistina.
I mean your Sistina. Because, you know, I've got a whole jazz library here.
I know.
We could choose a track according to its length.
Like I said, it's 7 stanzas of 6 lines. I don't know if this really has jazz that fits for this. This is kind of a sad one.
All right. Well, clearly that means...
something mellow?
Yeah. Whenever I think of mellow, sad jazz, of course I think of Caribbean music. So let's go right to that. This is an 11-minute track. What do you think? Will you be able to...
Oh, definitely.
Okay, great.
I should mention I also brought a sad story, you know, so I could either do a sad poem or a sad story.
Well, seeing that we've been talking about the Sistina for the last 10 minutes, let's... this track, according to the CD, is 14 seconds long.
I just thought I would put options out there, since I'm... actually not a huge fan of my poetry.
I don't know, this doesn't sound so sad. Can you hear this?
Yeah, this is a little too upbeat, I think.
All right.
It's too happy for my kind of writing style.
All right, so we're going to leave the Caribbean music behind, and maybe some, here's some blues. All right, here we go. Blue and Soul, from Blue Note, and we're going to share a track with folks, and I'm looking for one that I think would be appropriate. These are jazz representation of blues songs, and with a little bit of rock and roll and soul thrown in. So I'm gonna here's an Earl Clue. Interpretation of a Whitfield Strong track that some people may be able to recognize. While we listen to a Sistina from Pia Bauer.
This one is called On Mercy. These are memories I have left of you. You wrote me a guzzle about mercy. It was Hebrew on a white napkin in black. I've kept a lighter we once used outside, smoking cigarettes by my open window and exhaling into stony night air. All things unspoken, rising in the air, when I couldn't bring myself to face you. As I watch the view through my glass window, I think this moment has no mercy. I am pretending that we are outside, putting out our smoke so the ashes black. I once dreamt that our shadows were not black, but passing through each other, mid-air, still grasping for the barriers outside, and the guilt passed over to me from you. I wrote a letter asking for mercy. Forgive me, I wait by my closed window. You sent me notes I'd read by my window, using Kyrene postage stamped in black. There was nothing left for me but mercy. That you fleshed out from the smog-filled air that overwhelms Cairo and surrounds you, while dust in the city salters outside. The cold that edges its way from outside is trapped in my room, fogging the window, where I have put a photograph of you, so old that its corners are turning black. You woke to find me, breathing the air, which all at once aged us without mercy. I've forgotten the idea of mercy. All the things that were once both outside or inside my head have dissolved in air. I shut these things out like I shut my window until there's nothing to see but the black, not even the things you left behind you. Why are you outside my window when I know that you're in the thick black air in the city of no mercy? I see you.
That was Pia Bauer. sharing with us. This is Dina. Tell us the title one more time.
On Mercy.
On Mercy. Pia Bauer is my guest, and she's been posting old recordings of this radio show on the website, one of the many websites for which she has been the webmaster. That's poetrytechnology.com, the website of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Pia Bauer also set up a Facebook site for this radio show. If you look for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on Facebook, you'll see an entire site where you can like things. You can like the site, and then whenever we tell you about upcoming guests, you'll get an announcement. That's how it works. Isn't that how it works, Pia?
Right. I set it up so that people can actually know ahead of time who our guests are going to be rather than tune in and then be shocked.
Shocked, but amazed and pleased.
Right.
And in some cases, overjoyed.
Exactly.
I really like that, Sestina. I'm full of regret that we're not going to be able to get to the story that, as you've told pretty much everyone, including a few strangers as we are walking here, you've recently published in the YOLO Crow.
You make it sound like I've been fracking, and really, I just wanna...
It's about fishing, isn't it?
It is about fishing. And
that's good. You spend a lot of time fishing?
You know, actually, as my boyfriend pointed out to me, how is it that someone who's never been fishing gets a story published about fishing? And
wow.
I said, I'm that good.
That's great. Well, by contrast, Eve West Bessier, as we learned earlier, sticks with what she knows, such as jazz and boiling water and other topics.
It's true.
If you want to find out the other topics that she takes on, then you can come to that reading tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the John Atsoulis Gallery. But, Eve, you also said that you write from the perspective of people who are not yourself.
Yeah, and I don't really know any people who were in the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma.
Either. Right. Well, I do know some people, but most of them are dead by now. But it sounds like Pia, you also take on topics that you don't know terribly well, because that's what we can do as poets.
Right. No, that's what I started. That was my whole project, actually, for my senior thesis. And I just want to point out, I don't normally brag about my writing. And I did.
You are on a radio show to talk about yourself as a writer.
Right.
I don't think anyone will fault you for actually talking about yourself as a writer.
Right. And I should point out, I didn't schedule myself for the show. This is one of the few times when I did not.
People aren't really interested in that. We've only got a few minutes left in the show.
You're right.
This is a long list of things that people don't care about.
I wanted to say that...
They want to know how many languages you speak.
No.
Wait, I'll tell you folks at home. Five.
No.
Five.
I thought I should say...
What they are? German, Korean, Spanish, French... and English.
We've wasted about 10 minutes of the show talking about...
That's the other thing they don't want to know about. About how you're wasting your time.
Well, no, I think it's important to write about things you don't know about. I wrote a story set completely on Montana, almost completely on Montana, used it to apply to the University of Montana for their MFA program. Didn't realize it, by the way. I wasn't trying to be cocky and pretend that I know everything. But I got accepted there, so, you know, maybe that goes to show you can successfully write about places and things you don't know about as long as you do your research. And, you know, actually, one of my future goals this coming year is to go fly fishing in Montana.
That's great. It also helps if you're a really good writer.
Well... You know, maybe that will come in due time. That will come in due time. Norman MacLean, who is one of my heroes, as Jack Hicks, my thesis advisor, pointed out to me, he was not good overnight. So he told me maybe when I'm 70, which is the age he was when he published River Runs Through It, maybe, you know, I'll be decent by then.
Excellent. Some people need 10,000 hours of practice to become decent. Pia Bauer is planning on 100,000 hours. I hope that works out for you, Pia Bauer. And I'd like to thank you, Pia, for producing this radio show for the last year. You've been the most ambitious producer the show has ever had.
I'm the only producer the show has ever
had. That's true. And also you helped to produce tomorrow night's event. At the Poetry Night Reading Series with Eve West Bessier, who's going to be performing. But you're heading out camping, so we won't see you there. but perhaps we'll get to see you at some future Poetry Night Reading Series event at the John Atsilas Gallery.
Well, I hope to come back at some point.
I'm sure that there'll be a spot for you in the city of Davis.